بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحن نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading concerning the beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue belief number two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Allah ta'ala is not in need of anyone. Allah ta'ala has not begotten any children, nor was he begotten. There is absolutely no comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the epitome of all perfect qualities. Whatever comes to our small minds and imaginations, Allah ta'ala is beyond that and supersedes everything. Belief number three. There is nothing similar to Allah ta'ala and he is completely unique. Allah ta'ala has no partner. There is none equal to him in his being, in his attributes and actions. Only Allah Ta'ala is worthy of worship. To worship anyone besides Allah Ta'ala is severe rebellion, which is referred to as shirk, that is polytheism. Belief number four. Nothing happens without the will of Allah Ta'ala. Not a single leaf can move without his will. The example of the system of the world is unlike a watch which has been wound, after which the winder has no choice in controlling its movement. But its example is like a person who is physically moving the hands of a clock, and its moving and stopping is entirely in his control. This is how Allah Ta'ala's system of the world operates. Allah Ta'ala has not given anyone the choice to carry out his tasks, as kings appoint people to do their work. The king's representatives are then able to do their work without the consent of the king. Allah Ta'ala is free from this. For example, the angel of death has the duty of extracting lives, but he has no choice until the command of Allah Ta'ala arrives. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala has sent the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam to guide mankind, but guidance itself lies in Allah Ta'ala's control. In short, every affair is in Allah's control. He gives benefit and harm. No witchcraft, magic, sangomas, or an evil spirits of the ancestors can cause one to die or cause harm to anyone. Everything happens only by the permission of Allah Ta'ala. Belief number five. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. No atom or speck in the universe is concealed from Allah Ta'ala's knowledge. His knowledge is so encompassing that there never is, was, or will ever be even the slightest change or adulteration in it. Nothing of the future and past and every other aspect of time and place is out of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. His quality of knowledge is unlimited. Everything is encompassed in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala at every moment. Allah Ta'ala listens to everything's voice and call, whether it is in the heavens or the earth. Allah Ta'ala even hears the sounds of the movements of the smallest ant that moves beneath the seven earths. Allah Ta'ala hears the sound of the entire universe at one and the same time. The sound of one thing does not overcome or interrupt the sound of another in his hearing. Allah Ta'ala sees everything in the universe at one at the same time. No screen or darkness can ever separate Allah Ta'ala's sight from it. Belief number six. Allah Ta'ala is most loving, most kind, and most merciful. Allah Ta'ala does as he pleases. He speaks, Allah Ta'ala is kind to his servants. He is the true sovereign. Only Allah Ta'ala protects his servants from calamities. Allah Ta'ala alone is the owner of respect. He is the most exalted. Allah Ta'ala forgives sins. Allah Ta'ala is all powerful. He has power over everything. Allah Ta'ala grants in abundance, and Allah Ta'ala distributes sustenance. Allah Ta'ala also straightens sustenance for whomsoever he wishes. And Allah Ta'ala expands sustenance for whomsoever he wishes. Allah Ta'ala lowers and elevates whomsoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala honors and disgraces whomsoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala is most just. He is most tolerant. He is most appreciative of service rendered to Him. Allah Ta'ala accepts du'as. Allah Ta'ala encompasses everything. No work of His is void of wisdom. He fulfills the needs of all. Allah Ta'ala had initially created all, and Allah Ta'ala will create all a second time on the day of judgment. Only Allah Ta'ala grants life and death. All can recognize Allah Ta'ala by means of His signs and actions, but no one can comprehend the reality of the being and qualities of Allah Ta'ala. He, that is Allah Ta'ala, accepts the repentance of the sinners. Allah Ta'ala punishes those deserving punishment. Allah Ta'ala grants guidance. He does not sleep, nor does slumber overcome Him. Allah Ta'ala does not tire by looking after the entire universe. And Allah Ta'ala maintains all things. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the second half of the third para and a three-quarter of the fourth para was recited. And this was the remainder of the entire Surah Al-Imran, besides the first two rukus which were recited the night before. Surah Al-Imran, the name of the surah is Al-Imran, which means the family of Imran. Hazrat Imran was the father of Maryam alayhi salam, and who in turn Maryam was the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Since mention of the incident of the birth of Maryam alayhi salam together with the birth of Isa alayhi salam is mentioned here, and also another incident of concerning Yahya alayhi salam is also mentioned. All their births were in a miraculous way. That is why the surah has been entitled The Family of Imran. Hazrat Imran passed away before Maryam was born. His wife Hanna was expecting, and he passed away, and then thereafter Maryam was born. Anyway, the incident will be mentioned in front. This surah, the first approximately 80 verses or so, were revealed on the occasion when a delegation of the Christians from a place called Najran, they came to meet with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they wished to argue with regard to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, whom they attributed divinity to, and they regarded Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to be the son of Allah Ta'ala, na'udh billah. And to substantiate their claims, they even presented verses of the Quran and Majeed in which Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is referred to Ruhullah and Kalimatullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed these verses in response to this argument and these claims of this delegation of the Christians. So about half of the surah, to tell about 80 or so ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mainly addresses the Ahle Kitab, and from them referring to the Christians, but in particular, and the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then emphasized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first ruku that in response to the claim of the Christians, that the ayat and the verses of the Quran and Majid are of two types. Allah ta'ala mentions that some of them, some of the verses in the Quran and Majid are ayatum muhkamat. They are the muhkamat ayat, and concerning them Allah Ta'ala says hunna ummul kitab, that these are the actual core and essence of the Quran and Majid. Muhkam ayat means those verses of the Quran and Majid, and the majority and most of the verses of the Quran and Majid are in this category of muhkam ayat. The meaning of it is completely clear, and there is no ambiguity whatsoever in it. So some of the verses are of this nature. But some other verses of the Quran and Majid, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ, that they are what is classified and termed as mutashabihat. These are those verses of the Quran Majid. The meaning of it is not clear and explicit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reasons known to Allah ta'ala himself, Allah ta'ala kept the meaning of it in unclear and in a state of ambiguity. These verses of the Quran Majid are called mutashabihat. So Allah ta'ala then mentions that those people who are with firm iman and sound iman, they are concerned about the muhkam ayat and the verses, those ayat in which the meaning is completely clear. But those people who have deficiency of iman, Allah Ta'ala mentions there in their heart there is crookedness. They pursue those verses of the Quran Majid which are mutashabihat, which Allah Ta'ala himself has not clearly mentioned the meaning of it, and the reason for that is to create mischief and also to give wrong interpretations of those verses to conform with their own whims and desires. The verses concerning Isa alayhi salam, where Allah Ta'ala has called him Ruhullah, which means the soul of Allah Ta'ala, technically the meaning, and Kalimatullah, the word of Allah Ta'ala. These are under the category of the mutashabihat. And Allah Ta'ala says that the meaning, actual real meaning of that, Allah Ta'ala has not made it clear. And only the actual meaning is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala further mentions that those who are firmly grounded in knowledge also, and who have sound knowledge also, they also say that everything is from Allah Ta'ala and we don't know its actual meaning. So Allah Ta'ala has kept these verses as a test for mankind, so that they don't pursue such ayat, and they don't start giving wrong interpretations of these ayat from their own side. Allah Ta'ala mentions that those who have sound knowledge and who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they also make this dua, and this is the dua we should also make. And the ulama have given many prescriptions for death on iman. Amongst them is to recite this dua and to make this dua frequently. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. That, O Allah Ta'ala, do not cause our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. And O Allah Ta'ala, grant us mercy from your side. You are the one who is very, you are the great giver, and you are the one who grants everything. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentions that, very briefly Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the Battle of Badr, that the Muslims, against all odds, Allah Ta'ala gave them an overwhelming victory. Despite their numbers being much less than the kuffar, and also much less ill-equipped, but Allah Ta'ala gave them a stunning victory. Very brief mention of the Battle of Badr is also mentioned here. Later on in the same surah, in the fourth para, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the Battle of Uhud in many, many ayat, which we will now discuss in the fourth para. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the qualities of the muttaqeen, that they believe in Allah ta'ala, they ask forgiveness for their sins and protection from the fire of Jahannam, and they are as-sabireen, they are those who now who remain firm and steadfast on their deen despite difficulties and calamities, and they are true in word, true at heart, and true in their iman, and they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are munfiqeen, standing in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they are charitable. And the last quality mentioned here, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, that they ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness in the early hours of the morning, despite spending time in the worship of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but they realize they cannot fulfill the haqq of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the haqq of worship, and they are asking for forgiveness, despite now being engaged in the ibadat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the only deen acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the deen of Islam, and the Islam where a person completely submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remains obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala makes mention of the evil qualities and the bad traits of the Ahl-e-Kitab, particularly the Jews and the Christians, that they were such that they even killed some of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam wrongfully, unjustly, and they also they oppressed those that were the pious amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. For them there is a painful punishment. Further on the ayat, Allah ta'ala mentions that those that قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Very famous ayat which we read commonly. The circumstances of the revelation of this in the ayat after it was when the mu'mineen, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings to the mu'mineen that very soon you will be conquering the superpowers of the time, the Romans and the Persians, the hypocrites, the polytheists, and also the Jews in particular, they started mocking and jeering at the Muslims. That here they are now, they are scared to confront the enemy. They are digging trenches to try and protect themselves. They don't have enough food to fill their bellies, and yet they are dreaming of conquering the superpowers of their time. Allah Ta'ala in these verses explains that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in Allah Ta'ala's control is kingdom. Allah Ta'ala grants kingdom and takes away kingdom from whomsoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala grants honor and Allah Ta'ala puts into disgrace whom He wishes. Everything is in the control of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, then Allah Ta'ala makes mention that these kuffar are such that mu'mineen should never befriend them. No type of now friendship, which we call intimate friendship from the heart, should be with these type of kuffar, because they are the enemies of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And further on in the same surah, again Allah Ta'ala very clearly mentions the reason why you should never befriend the kuffar, because these are such people who will never leave any stone unturned to try and harm you, and they wish and they get happy when you fall into difficulties and calamities, and their enmity emanates from their tongues, in other words, words of hatred. But what is lurking in their heart, Allah Ta'ala says, is Al-Akbar. That is even worse and even more. So never befriend them. The ulama explain, but here it means to have intimate friendship with the kuffar. However, other forms and levels of relationships with the kuffar, which is not intimate relationship, that is permissible as long as it is not to the detriment of the Islamic State and to the Muslims, general Muslims at large. These have been termed, that which is forbidden has been termed as muwalat. But the other levels of relationships, they are permissible. For example, muwasat, which is those relationships which are based on compassion, on kindness, on concern for others, if they are in difficulty, even to give them support and help and assistance, that is permissible. Similarly, mudarat, that relationship which is based on courtesy, on good manners, on politeness, these will be also permissible. But as mentioned, on the condition, it is not to the detriment of the Muslims and the Islamic State and the Muslims at large. Similarly, mu'amalat, where to have trade relationships with them, business, commerce, trade, etc., this will also be permissible as long as it is not to the detriment of the Muslims. Further on, Allah Ta'ala in a very important verse mentions, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell the people that if you love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then follow me. Follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Allah Ta'ala will love you, and Allah Ta'ala will forgive you your sins. So the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala without following the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not possible. We have to now follow the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if we want to get the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, then the incident for which the surah has been given its name are mentioned. One is the birth of Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, her mother Hannah. She had not given birth for a lengthy period of time, and once she seen a bird feeding its young chick, and the the desire came in her mind that she also must now get children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she made dua to Allah ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala accepted her dua. And before the child was even born, she conceived, and before the child was even born, she vowed that the child which will be born, I have now dedicated it for the service of deen and for the service and khidmat of Baytul Maqdis, that I have dedicated this child for that. When the child was born, it was a female. She expected a male to be born. She was a bit scared on this, knowing that though only those are accepted for the khidmat of Baytul Maqdis who are male. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verse that وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Many males are not like this female. This is a special female, Maryam alayhi salam, and eventually she was given handed over to the caretakers of to the caretakers of Baytul Maqdis in the care of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam was a Nabi, and he then took over the custody of Maryam, and he was looking after her. And then the second incident is mentioned that while looking after her, once he entered her chambers and he found fruits which were not in season by Hazrat Maryam, and immediately he asked, "Where did you get this from?" And then she replied, "Huwa min indillah, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And Allah ta'ala grants sustenance to whomsoever without any, whomsoever he wishes without any measure. Zakariya alayhi salam at that moment also now, immediately now, he also had a desire that he also must get children and who will become his heirs and continue with the khidmat of deen. He was already of an advanced age, over 100 years. His wife also was also of advanced age, and she was barren. She never conceived, and she never gave birth to any children. They had no children of their own. But Zakariya alayhi salam, at this time when he seen that Allah ta'ala can give fruits out of season, my season of bearing children is also over outwardly, but nothing is beyond the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes the dua, Rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyibah. O Allah, grant me from your side pious offspring. You are the one who accepts the call in our du'as. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his du'a and gave the glad tidings that you will be blessed with a child, and his name also will be Yahya. Allah ta'ala also stipulated the name. And his qualities also mentioned that he will be one who will affirm and confirm the kalima of Allah. In other words, he will affirm the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He will be a leader and he will be completely chaste. He will not approach women, and in other words, he will not get married, and he will be from amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Yahya alayhi salam was born, and this was the second incident mentioned here. And the third incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning Isa alayhi salam and his miraculous birth. Without the agency of a father, Allah ta'ala created Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So that incident is also mentioned here. Allah ta'ala, many people, especially the Jews of that time, who refused to acknowledge the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, despite witnessing all the miracles which Allah ta'ala had blessed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam with, and they plotted to kill Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that wamakaru wamakarallah, that they plotted to kill Isa alayhi salam, but Allah ta'ala also planned to protect Isa alayhi salam, and Allah ta'ala is the best of planners. And the incident is well known that they surrounded the house in which Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was, and they entered the house with the intention of killing Isa alayhi salam, but Allah ta'ala raised Isa alayhi salam physically to the heavens. And this is our aqidah as Muslims, that Isa alayhi salam was not killed, nor was he crucified, as is the belief of the Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly in the next, later on, in the fifth or the sixth para, that وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ, that they did not kill Isa alayhi salam, nor did they crucify Isa alayhi salam, but Allah ta'ala raised Isa alayhi salam physically when he was alive and protected him from the evil intentions of these Jews. Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالُ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. Many people with this, they must interpret this ayat. The Mufassirin explained that Allah Ta'ala told Isa alayhi salam that I will give you death, in other words, on your appointed time. And it is our aqidah that Isa alayhi salam towards Qiyamah, near Qiyamah, he will be then sent again once more down to the earth, and he will live a normal life, and he will pass away in a natural way. That will be now later on. But وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. But now Allah Ta'ala tells Isa alayhi salam, I will be lifting you towards myself. In other words, I will be lifting you up, and I will purify you from all the wrong accusations leveled against you and your mother, from what the kuffar say. And Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And those that will follow you, we will keep them above those that committed kufr and denied your nabuwat. In other words, we will keep the Christians above the Jews. And the Jews, although outwardly they might seem that they have some power today, but actually they are all on the support of other nations. Until the day of Qiyamah, the Jews will remain disgraced and humiliated. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning those people who had doubts concerning the birth of Isa alayhi salam, that inna mathala Isa inda Allahi kamathali Adam. That the example of Isa alayhi salatu salam by Allah ta'ala is like the example of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously created Adam alayhi salam without the agency of a father or a mother. And the example of Isa alayhi salam is similar to that. That he had a mother, but without the agency of a father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Isa alayhi salam only with his qudrat. And just as Adam alayhi salam was created with through sand, and Allah ta'ala said, kun, become, and he became. Similarly was the case of Isa alayhi salatu salam. Further on, after mentioning all this, Allah Ta'ala then addresses the Ahl Kitab in general, that Ta'alu ila kalimatin, that come and let unite on one kalima, which is now agreed upon between all of us, and it was the teachings of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is the kalima of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. Further on, then towards the end of the third para, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala then mentions concerning the covenant and the pact which Allah Ta'ala took from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in Alam-e-Barzakh, that when our Nabi will come, the final messenger will come, if it comes in your time, you should confirm on and attest to his nabuwat. And if he doesn't come in your time after you, then those that are your followers, those your nations, they should also then bring iman on that last Nabi and also assist him. So from this we understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's status is that of Sayyidul Anbiya. He was the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Ta'ala also mentions, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. The one who seeks any deen besides the deen of Islam will never be accepted from him. In the fourth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also one of the themes of the surah, besides Tawheed and Risalat, and also spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala says, you can never attain perfect virtue and piety until and unless you don't spend of that which you love. So the true level of piety and righteousness will be when we spend of that which we hold dear to ourselves. To spend that in the path of Allah Ta'ala. It is recorded in the ahadith that Sahaba radiallahu anhum, on hearing this verse, many of them, those things which were very near and dear to them, they immediately gave it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala also mentions concerning the Baytullah, that same Baytullah in which objections were raised when the Muslims were ordered to turn towards the Baytullah as the Qibla. Allah Ta'ala mentions that the first house on the surface of the earth, designated for people for their ibadat, was in Bakka. Bakka means Makkatul Mukarramah, referring to the Baytullah. Allah Ta'ala says it is a source of barakat and hidayat for all the people of the world, and they are distinctive signs to show its virtue and great position. That amongst them is the Maqam Ibrahim. that stone on which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stood on while constructing the Baytullah, which is preserved to this day, and it is a very auspicious place, the Maqam Ibrahim, just on the outside of the Baytullah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not differ with one another, do not disunite. For the collective strength of the mu'mineen and for unity, Allah ta'ala mentions this, that hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by it is meant the deen of Islam and the Quran and Majid. And this will now give strength to the Muslimin. Then Allah ta'ala mentions the great virtue of this ummah, being the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are Sayyidul Anbiya. So the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have also got a superiority and distinction over all the other nations. And the reasons Allah ta'ala mentions, that ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah, that they do the work of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi 'anil munkar, they enjoin the good and forbid from the evil, and they have firm conviction and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the responsibility of this ummah, to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, for which Allah Ta'ala has accorded special status for this ummah. Then thereafter Allah Ta'ala makes mention in quite detail, approximately 55 verses, concerning the battle of Uhud. We all know the incident in the battle of Uhud, that Muslims initially were victorious, but because of a mistake by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where they went against the order of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guard the mountain path, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Muslims suffer a setback. Many people, they started now objecting against the deen of Islam, citing this incident, that if these people, the Muslimin, were on haq, then why is it that they had to suffer a certain type of a defeat and temporary setback? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident in detail, and also consoles the Muslimin, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, that these are such days which now alternate between people. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala grants victory, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the Muslims also suffer some setbacks, and there are many lessons for them in that. Further on, towards the end of the what was recited last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the quality of those who are the intelligent, that they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the ones, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, that they are constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while standing, while sitting, and while lying down, and they ponder over the creations of the skies and the earth. So Allah Ta'ala calls these people the ones who are intelligent, the people of aql, of sound mind. And one of the main qualities here is that they are constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last ruku, Allah Ta'ala further mentions that لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ, that the moving of the kuffar in the land for amassing the worldly riches, O Muslimin, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also referring to the people, to the mu'mineen, this must not put you into deception, that they are amassing the wealth of the world by traveling around in the world. Why? Because it is mata'un qaleel. These are just objects of the dunya. These are material things. But what is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far better. And on the last verse, Allah ta'ala then mentions that for success, O mu'mineen, isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu, that remain steadfast and firm in all your matters. Sabr, outwardly we only understand it to be when some calamity befalls us. But sabr has got a very wide interpretation, that to remain steadfast on the injunctions of the Shariat, and also to remain steadfast in staying away from the prohibitions of Shariat, and also then to remain steadfast and exercise perseverance at the times of difficulty. Wasabiru, and when confronting the enemy, remain firm, and also warabitu, and engage in preparations always to combat the enemies, to see that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always remains supreme at all time, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa of Allah ta'ala, la'allakum tuflihun, and inshallah through this, then Allah ta'ala says, you will be successful.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن معاذ رضي الله عنه أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أي الجهاد أعظم أجرا؟ قال أكثرهم لله تبارك وتعالى ذكرا. قال فأي الصائمين أعظم أجرا؟ قال أكثرهم لله تبارك وتعالى ذكرا. ثم ذكر الصلاة والزكاة والحج والصدقة كل ذلك، ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أكثرهم لله تبارك وتعالى ذكرا. فقال أبو بكر لعمر يا أبا حفص ذهب الذاكرون بكل خير، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجل. رواه أحمد. حضرت معاذ رضي الله عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک شخص نے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے پوچھا کون سا جہاد کا اجر سب سے زیادہ ہے. ارشاد فرمایا جس جہاد میں اللہ تبارک و تعالی کا ذکر سب سے زیادہ ہو. پوچھا روزہ داروں میں سب سے زیادہ اجر کسے ملے گا؟ ارشاد فرمایا جو اللہ تبارک و تعالی کا سب سے زیادہ ذکر کرنے والا ہو. پھر اسی طرح نماز، زکاۃ، حج اور صدقہ کے متعلق رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ وہ نماز، زکاۃ، حج اور صدقہ افضل ہے جس میں اللہ تبارک و تعالی کا ذکر زیادہ ہو. حضرت ابو بکر رضی اللہ عنہ نے حضرت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ سے فرمایا ابو حفص ذکر کرنے والے سارے خیر و بلائی لے گئے. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا بالکل ٹھیک کہتے ہو. حضرت معاذ رضی اللہ عنہ reports that a man once asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam which mujahid earns the greatest reward. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied the one who excels in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The man further asked which of those who keep fast attain the greatest reward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam again replied the one who excels in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The man then repeated the same question regarding salah, zakat, hajj and sadaqah, and each time received the same reply. That is the one who excels in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Upon hearing this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, O Abu Hafs, it seems as if the zakirin, those who make the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, have taken all good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, most certainly. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu reports that a man asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which mujahid earns the greatest reward. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied the one who excels in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The man further asked which of those who keep fast attain the greatest reward. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again replied the one who excels in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The man then repeated the same question regarding salah, zakat, hajj and sadaqah, and each time received the same reply, meaning the one who excels in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Upon listening to this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, O Abu Hafs, it seems as if the zakirin, those who make the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, have taken all that is good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, indeed, most certainly.